For those of you who are just visiting today, I am not past the pastor. Pastor Bev is up here, and so if you're just visiting for the first time today, make sure you come back so that you can hear how awesome she is and be blessed by her. Happy Mother's Day to everyone who has stepped up to be a mom, whether biologically or in any way, stepped up to be a mom to somebody. So happy Mother's Day to you. My name's Wendy Mungia. I'm a lay speaker, and I have to remember to do this. I'm not the one that usually does this, so hang in there with me as I, okay. This is my family. This is my biological family. I have been blessed to be a mom, a second mom, to so many others. But as I was looking at this morning, I realized Alex has really changed. He's like way taller than that. He's taller than me now. So Alex, why don't you come up and they could see what you're really like.
You're the worst mom ever!
Well, that's not what I expected. That's actually really embarrassing. Man, I can't believe he just did that in front of the whole church. Is that awkward to anybody else? I don't think he likes you. Obviously. You know, you must be really bad at this mom thing. I know. You know, when they were little, I really knew what to do. I could get on the floor and play with them, and I knew what to do. But now that they're teenagers, I'm not quite sure what to do with them anymore. Look at all those people out there. They got it all together. Look at, they're all dressed up, sitting as a family, and your kid just walked up here and told you how awful you were. I know. I guess they all know how bad of a mom I really am now. You know, everybody just sat there and just let it happen. He must not love me, and I guess nobody else does either. They didn't step up and say anything. They didn't try to help. And me, all dressed up and so cute, and I have a t-shirt on. Oh. You know, I really should have said something. I shouldn't have let him get away with that. When church is done, I'm gonna. How many of you know what's coming next? How many of you all played this game? You play the hurt over and over in your head. You pick up the hurt and you wear it. The interesting thing about that is when we pick up a hurt and we put it on, we start to feed it. Wasn't that what I was doing? Feeding my hurt. I was feeding it, and it was telling me lies, and I was letting them define who I was. When we feed something, when we feed our hurt, typically we keep that going over and over in our head, so we feel like we have some control, right? I have to have a little control over it because everything else in my life is so chaotic. So if we play it over and over in our mind, we'll have a little control over it, right? We start to compare ourselves to others. We start to say, how could they? And I should have, and what if? But in doing so, we feed and nurse our hurt and our frustrations. When we feed something, what happens? It grows. What thoughts have you been feeding? This is hard to kind of juggle everything. The truth is, the more we feed our fears, our past, and our hurts, the more our anger and our frustration and our hurts grow, right? What if we played a different what-if game? What if we turn that conversation in our head into a conversation with God? God, I feel like a failure. I feel like I'm never going to get this mom thing right. God, how can I keep going? It's always one more thing. And then in front of everybody, now they all know what I'm really like. God can give us directions. When we let our feelings and emotions lead us, we're not following God's plan. But we still pick up that hurt, we put it on, and we hold it close. And we listen to the lies it tells us. And we start to let them define who we really are. And then we protect it. Don't you come near my, this is my hurt. Don't come near my, this is my hurt. You can just stay over there and me and my hurt, we'll just have our own little conversation over here. And we protect it. Don't let anybody come near that hurt. How many of you can acknowledge that there is comfort in holding tight to your hurt? Thank you. Just a few people? Nobody else finds comfort in playing it over and holding tight to that hurt? One of the top psychotherapists in the country, Michael Trout, he just recently spoke at the NAMI conference, and he has a theory that healing comes for people once they identify their true story. Not the story with the lies that we've bought, but their true story. He told of all different kinds of kids who had behavior issues at home, but one that really stood out to me, and it was one little boy that was adopted from an orphanage, and healing came simply for him from identifying the lie, dispelling the lie and knowing the truth. This boy bought a lie early in his life, and it led his actions. And what Dr. Trout did was have him sit down and say, okay, the adopted father said, you know, people were coming and going and taking other kids while you were still there. You probably wondered why nobody took you. And the little boy had so many issues at home, and he was always throwing it in his face, you don't love me like you love the other ones. You don't care about me. And the adoptive father said, you know what? You did not get adopted right away. You didn't get taken right away because God had a plan for you, because there was a plan for you, and your plan was to be with my family. Your plan was to be a part of our family. John 8:31 through 47 says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered him, we're Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? And Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you are free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's descendants, yet you're looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I have seen in my father's presence, and you're doing what you have heard from your father. Abraham's our father, they answered. And Jesus says, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you're looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham didn't do such things. You're doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say. You belong to the father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue, his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Let's break this down for a minute. So it starts out to the Jews who had believed in him. To the Jews who had believed him. So he's talking to Christians. He's talking to those who believed. People that knew and believed in God. And he says, if you hold to my teachings, if you do what? Hold to my teachings. In some Bible versions, it says, abide in me. live in me, pitch a tent in me, if you let me live in you and transform you, just reading it's not going to do anything. But if you allow it to get in you and transform you, then and only then you will be my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered him, "Well, Jesus, we already know who we are. We've never been slaves to anybody or anything. Jesus, you're wrong. We know who we are. So how can you tell us we're going to be free when we haven't ever been chained?" And Jesus responds by telling them that everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave isn't part of the family. Jesus basically says, "Hey, I want you to be a part of my family. I have great plans for you. I want you free. But you're not listening to me." The boy earlier from the orphanage, do you think his parents told him that they loved him? Of course they did. Did he believe it? No. Do you believe it? His actions were out of fear that he wasn't loved. That they didn't think of him as much a part of a family as somebody else. He was listening to the wrong voice. So Jesus goes on and reminds them, "I want you to be a part of my family forever, but you're not listening to me." And what was their response? "But Jesus, we know who we are. You're wrong. Abraham's our father." And Jesus continued on, wanting them to know the truth. Abraham sought the truth. Abraham listened to truth. You're not listening to the truth of God. You're listening to the father of all lies. He's told you that you can't make it. He's told you that you're not good enough, that you're not worthy. He's told you that you can't be free from your past. You can't be free from your pain. He's told you lies. And you're listening to him. "No, Jesus," they argued. "No." What are they doing? They're protecting that hurt. "No, no, no, Jesus. That's not right." But Jesus loves them right where they are. However, he loved them too much to leave them there. He says, "If God were really your father, then you'd trust me. You would believe the truth. You would believe all that I say. You would believe and apply it to your life. But you're not listening to me. You're listening to the father of lies." People, what father are you listening to? God's voice will still you. Satan's voice will rush you. God's voice will lead you. Satan's voice will push you. God's voice will reassure you. Satan's voice will frighten you. God's voice will enlighten you. Satan's voice will confuse you. How are you feeling? What are you letting lead you? The voice of truth or the voice of lies? God's voice will encourage you. Satan's voice will discourage you. God's voice will comfort you, and Satan's voice will worry you. God's voice will calm you, but Satan will obsess you. God's voice will convict you, but Satan's voice will condemn you. God's voice sets you free, but Satan's voice entraps you in those chains. The Greek word for truth is aletheia, which means unhide or hiding nothing. Isn't that interesting? I think that's so interesting. Knowing the truth means we unhide or expose the lies that we bought. I'm a cheapskate, people, and I have bought a plenty of lies, and they have cost me greatly. You know, we have all of these things, and we have them all hiding and stuffed inside, and we walk into church.
"Good morning, Wendy. How are you?"
"I'm fine." Because if it were this obvious, somebody would be like, It's not that obvious, though, is it? What all we stuff inside. I think it's so funny because as I walk up to Pastor Bev in the morning, I'm like, okay, you know what? She is getting ready to do a sermon. She does not have time for all of that stuff inside. As a matter of fact, ain't nobody got time for that. And because unhiding the lie is scary, it means people will see me vulnerable. And that's the last thing I could ever do because I need to protect myself. So thank you very much. My hurt and I will be over here while y'all do your thing. We don't even try to get close because of our hurt. And we will protect it with all we have. Don't you come. This is my hurt. And we're close over here. So. But the truth is, what am I doing? I'm feeding my lie. I'm holding it close. And I'm protecting it. And there is only one way to break that cycle. What did it say? The truth will set you free. Has anyone ever hurled their pain on you? Sometimes we carry our hurt around everywhere we go. And isn't that what Alex did? He hurled his pain onto me, right? It wasn't really anything I had done. But his pain just kind of spilled out all over me, didn't it? His cup overflowed. You see, we all have a cup in our soul. And the problem is, each time somebody puts a hurt in there, it fills up more. It doesn't look very pretty, does it? And the more and more hurts we get, whether we wear it or we stuff it, if we're spilling out on somebody else, our cup is full. And there's only one way to break that cycle, to unhide the hurt, and to come to the altar, and to leave that hurt at the foot of the cross. I know there are hurting people in here. And I know you've stuffed it like I have. And it feels very vulnerable not to have that here protecting me. But your hurt isn't protecting you. It's just hurting you more. You're buying the lies it's telling you, and you're defining yourself through it. That's not who you are. What happens when somebody hurls their pain onto me when I have a full cup? It spills out onto other people around me. The only way to be free from this cycle is to leave, unhide it, and leave it at the cross and keep dumping it. And dumping it. Did that happen overnight? And I keep dumping, but not everything's coming out. Look, it's still messy. What do I need? I can't do it on my own. The only thing that can cleanse it is living water. When we pray, when we get into God's word, it's the only way that we could see the truth and be clean. And it's, don't give up on yourself. How many of you ladies have started this process and it's still muddy and dirty and yucky and, oh, I'm done with that. I don't want to be in the mud anymore. And you stop. But it's not done yet. He doesn't want you to live with the muck. He wants you clean. He wants you to see the truth. And day after day after day, and I'm not going to keep you here for days. You keep cleaning it out and dumping it out, letting it transform you. And one day, you will have healing beyond anything you can ever imagine. Now, what happens if I leave this out and don't put any water in it? It gets hard. Know anyone with a hard heart? Hebrews 3:13 says, "But encourage each other daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sins of deceitfulness." Now, don't go home if you know somebody that's holding a hurt and carrying a hurt and say, "See, I told you, Wendy said all you got to do is leave it at the cross and be done with it." Because you know what they're going to do? They're going to take that as a hurt and they're going to wear that. What they need you to love them through it. To love them through that hurt and help them see themselves in God's eyes. Not the lies, not the hurts, but in God's eyes. They need you to love them and help them slowly unhide the things that are buried deep inside so that they can set it free. 1 Corinthians 13, most of you know this verse and may only have heard it at a wedding, but it says love is patient and kind. And it says it does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. Because the truth is what will set you free. The Hebrew word for truth is emeth. It means firmness, constancy, duration. So this implies that truth is something that can always be relied upon. We're relying on our hurts instead of the truth of who we truly are. Truth can be your rock. It's solid ground. If you're feeling like you're in sand, start digging so that you can see the truth and stand on solid ground. Because freedom comes when we take off the pain, when we unhide the pain, and when we stand on solid ground. It's time to play that new what-if game. What if Jesus really can be trusted? What if Jesus really will set me free? What if I really am strong and capable and worthy and loved? What if I really do have a purpose? The journey of truth will not happen overnight. But as long as we're seeking for it to happen, as long as we don't have to come into church and tell everybody who says, "How are you?" all of the stuff inside, but we do need at least one or two wise counsels to walk through it with us. And there are so many places that you can get plugged in to walk this truth with you in this church. And if you're not from this area, or if you're at a different place, a different church, find that place. If you're getting ready to go away to college, as soon as you get there, find people that you can walk with to help you find the truth. For those of you who are women that are ready for that, I'm going to be leading a women's Bible study on starting May 26th called Breaking Free by Beth Moore. If you want more, if you want to break free, then see me afterwards and I can sign you up for that. But don't do it alone. Don't leave your cup full so it just keeps spilling out on others. May we empty our cup until we can say, like the Apostle Paul, "It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." For Mother's Day, I want to give you the best gift of all, the gift of truth. Ladies, this is the gift of truth of who you really are. Not the lies, not the past, not the hurts that you may have bought, but the truth of who you are. Thank you.
You are beautiful. You are smart. You are funny. You are kind. You are unique. You are worthy of love and affection. You are never too much, and you are always enough. You are precious. You are a diamond, a rose, a pearl, the most stunning of all God's creation. You are worth more than you could ever imagine. Worth more than the numbers on the scale, or the hair product you use, or the shoes you wear. More than how many girls wish they were you, or how many guys wish they had you. More than the price tags on your clothes, or the percentage at the top of your math test, or even the number of followers you have on Twitter. Your worth surpasses all earthly things, because in the eyes of the Lord God, you are loved, and you are worth dying for. Regardless of who you think you are, whether you model in a magazine or you model pottery with grandma, whether you're on the hot list or the not list, whether you're head cheerleader or a high school dropout, whether you're Miss Popular or you've never had anyone you could call a friend, whether you love yourself and love your life or you can't stand to look in the mirror and you feel as if everything in your life is falling apart, whether you're such a winner or you feel like the world's biggest failure, regardless of who you think you are, the reality is that you deserve someone who would give up their life for you, because you are powerful and strong and capable. Read about the women in the Bible. Esther, Ruth, Martha, Mary. These women changed the world forever. And inside of you, each and every one of you is a woman with that same power and that same strength and that same world-changing capability. And your responsibility is to find that woman and to set that woman free. This is who you are. And any voices in your mind that try and tell you differently are from the enemy. And the next time you hear it, this is what you say. You say, nuh-uh, not me, Satan. I am a daughter of the living God, cherished, loved, and adored above all things by the Creator of all things for the glory of Him who is greater than all things. I am awesome. And please, don't you forget it.
We each have our own story and our own cup. But you are beautiful. You're important and your story matters. Whatever hurts or lies or pain you have bought into before, please don't walk out those doors today with it. Don't walk out of these doors today chained to something. God wants more for you. He loves you right where you are, but He loves you too much to leave you there. As we sing this last song, I want you to know that you are welcome to come to the altar, to lay down all of these hurts, all of the lies, to lay down anything that is holding you back. Empty your cup. Let out the muck. It's okay. It's what God wants for you. He wants more. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you that you've broken our chains. I thank you that you've set us free and that you give us opportunity to let go of all of the stuff that fills our cup. I ask you to help us not scoop it back up, not to go to drink it away, not to cut or do something else, just find relationships to feed us, anything that we fill with ourselves instead of you, Lord. I just ask you to help us, just let that living water wash us clean and fill us with the truth.